So glad you decided to worship with us here at Crystal River Church of God Online, where we want you to find focus for living. You can also connect with us through Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and make sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel for video messages. Now, an inspiring message from our lead pastor, Ronnie Reed.
Hallelujah. Go with me to the book of Acts, chapter 2. The book of Acts, chapter 2. We've got all kind of things going on, and I know in about 2 weeks or 3 weeks from now, what is it, 2 weeks from now, they're going to be having Pastor Appreciation Day, and you will really appreciate me if you show up. We used to have Pastor Appreciation. That was our lowest attended service. It kind of gives a guy a complex. So just show up. That would be very appreciative if you just show up. Amen. Who do they got preaching? Well, I used to get in trouble because I figured out who they had coming in, but I quit trying to figure it out because everybody got mad at me for figuring it out, so I just quit trying. So I have no idea, but I'm sure it's going to be somebody wonderful. Why? How do you know that? Because there's probably a friend of mine, and if they're a friend of mine, then they're wonderful. Amen. Amen. Look at your neighbor and tell him, he thinketh too higheth of himself. Amen. I want to preach to you on the subject this morning, getting well. Getting well. W-E-L-L. And it's an acronym. And I'll get to that here in a few moments. Getting well. In the book of Acts chapter 2, verse 38, if you're there, say amen. I'm not going to go there, Mike, not yet. Go to the one before. There you go. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. It says, then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise, I love this verse, for the promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. Will you just declare that the promise is to me and my children? I declare that it is for my children. And with many other words, he warned them and he pleaded with them, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Verse 41 says, and then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 were added to their number that day. Boy, that's a revival right there. 3,000 was added to their number that day. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Now, this version that's up on the screen says that they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Verse 33 says, and fear came, and everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. And every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Hallelujah. Bless the reading of your word. Grant me that which makes preaching easy and effective, which is the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Lord, give us ears to hear, a mind to receive, and a heart open to your word, that we may find change and that we may find inspiration through your word. In Jesus' name, and the church said, amen. Amen. Well, God's original design for the church is found in the passage in which I just read. God's original design for the church. I want you to know that the church is not man's idea. It's not man's idea. And it wasn't man's creation, it was God's. And is there, if there ever was a growth plan for a church that worked, it was used in this first century church. Now, we go to conferences. We go to conferences to hone our skills. We go to conferences to get better. We go to conferences to figure out people, to figure out strategies. We go to conferences to get inspired and transformed and receive revelation. And we're always learning. And let me just say to you, whatever vocation that you're in, you ought to always be learning also. You ought to be always learning not only in your vocation, but also in your walk with God. And the first century church, though, had it down pat before there ever was a church growth strategy. You want to talk about effectiveness, this church exploded. Why? Because the believers knew why they were there and what they were supposed to do. I want to say that again. The believers knew why they were there and what they were supposed to do. Well, Pastor, I don't know why I'm here or what I'm supposed to do. Well, unless this is your first time ever being at this church, shame on you. Because we preach it all the time, why we are here and what we're supposed to do. Well, then, if we were to place the church strategy of Acts 2, 42 through 47 by our church, how does it measure up? I dare say that we fall short. As a matter of fact, I know that we fall short. As I look at the church in Acts and I look at our church, I can't help but notice we've come a long way, but we have a long way to go. But this doesn't discourage me, church. Matter of fact, it challenges me, and I hope that it challenges you. That every time that I read this passage, I see not only what we are not, but what we can be. See, I don't have any false images, you know. People go, well, our church is the most lovingest church in the community. Not ours. Pastor, no, I'm just being real. We love the people we love. Amen? You love the people you love, but how about the people you don't know? You have to work on that. Let's just be real, all right? This is not going well, is it? Well, if you wanted to hear just what you wanted to hear, you needed to be in another church. Acts chapter 2, verse 42, 47 shows us four foundational qualities of the early church. That I believe that if we're going to be a church that is well, a body that is well, a Christian that is well, that we need to look at these four qualities. Now think of it like this. The first church was a well church. And I don't know about you, but I don't like being sick. I don't like it. I hate it when I feel it coming on. I fight against it. I take vitamins. I do a lot of things, try to keep myself well. But I have to ask the question, how many of us in this body of believers really work on keeping our spirit well, our Christianity well? Well, Pastor, I come to church. But that's just a portion of what we ought to be doing. See, when God sets up the first church, He did it right. And so if we're going to do it right, we need to do it God's way. Amen? So let's ask this. First, point number one. God's original design was become a worshiping church. Now, Pastor, we do that pretty well. And we do. I will say that we worship pretty well. Now, because if you know, we've had people come to our church and some of the people who I know from other churches, they would say to me, our biggest surprise about this church is most people worship. I'm like, all right, praise God. That's wonderful. Because we strive on getting people to worship because we know that if you ever get into the presence of God, you will never be the same again. That in His presence is fullness of joy. In His presence, there is liberty. There is freedom in His presence. And if we can get you in His presence, we believe that He will transform your life. the Bible said they continued steadfastly, our text, in the breaking of bread, in prayer, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. They ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God. So the early church was built on prayer and worship. Now, we're really good at worship, but how good are we at prayer? We're good at worship, but can I tell you that praise and worship can never take the place of prayer? And prayer can't take the place of praise and worship. Well, how are you fed? Well, I'm fed through worship. No, you're not. No, you're not. You ought to be fed through the Word of God. All right? But we need to read the book of Acts, the record of the early church's history. We conclude that the believers had miracles happen almost every single day. And I know that we have a miracle. It was a miracle you got up this morning. It was a miracle you look as good as you do. Come on, somebody. It's a miracle that we were able to get here on time. It was a miracle. You know, it's a miracle. It's a miracle. But I'm talking about they had miracles that followed them all day. They didn't follow like the many church people. They followed the miracles. No, in the early days, the miracles followed the believer. And we follow a man or a woman that miracles happen in their meetings. But what I'm telling you, that if we're going to be a well church, if we worship and pray like we ought to pray, that the miracles follow you. Instead of us looking for the next revival or the next big thing or what God's doing, let Him be doing it in you. See, and it's... They didn't follow signs and wonders. The signs and wonders followed them. An expressive, worshipful church results from sincere praise, sincere communion with the Savior. It's not something you schedule to draw a crowd. Worship ought to happen every day of your life. Praise and worship ought to happen every day of your life. Did you hear that? I worship God almost every day. Pastor, why don't you say almost? Because I don't want to be legalistic about it. Some days I don't get up worshiping God. You know, some days I have to get myself there. Come on, somebody. But I worship God almost every day. But to become a worshiping church means focus has been shifted. That your focus has to be shifted if you're going to be a worshiping church. Now listen to me. Everybody is designed to worship something. Anthropologists will tell us that that every society, whether they were intellectual or what, worshiped something. They would worship the sun. Some people would worship a rock. Some people would worship a tree. But there is in us there's something in us that causes us to worship. So what are you worshiping? Well, Pastor, I don't worship anything but Jesus. Well, check your time and your money, and that's usually what you're worshiping. Do you worship? So I know some people who worship shopping. But to change that in the 11 o'clock service. Yeah, you know, my wife will be there. No, but she worships God. But the Bible teaches us that we are to put on this earthly primarily, or we were put on this earth primarily to walk with God, and He made us so that we may bring Him glory. So our focus have to be shifted from ourselves to Him. Jesus replied like this in the book of John chapter 4, verse 21. Believe me, this time there is time coming when it will no longer matter whether you worship the Father here in Jerusalem. You Samaritans know so little about the one you worship, while we Jews know all about, for salvation comes through the Jews. But the time is coming and is already here when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. The Father is looking or seeking for anyone who will worship Him that way. For God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and in truth. Too many, especially Pentecostal charismatics, worship with emotion only. We worship because it feels good. We worship because we like the beat. We worship because we like what we feel. But are you worshiping in spirit and in truth? Worshiping in spirit and in truth means worshiping with the mind and also the heart. Not just your emotion. True worship requires both. You worship in truth when you know who you are worshiping and why. See, listen, I'm all about worshiping God, dancing and shouting and falling out. I'm all about all that. But the problem is some people do it and don't even know why. I want some shout with a clap. Come on. I want to know the reason why I'm shouting. I want to know the reason why I'm dancing. I want to know the reason. And you worship in truth when you know who you are worshiping and why you worship them. We are agreeing with God about who He is. Woo! Thank you, God. When we worship God, that's what you're doing. We agree. I declare, I decree that you are who you say you are. I agree, I decree, I declare that you are the Christ, the Messiah, the only begotten Son of the Father. It was by your blood. That's why I'm cleansed. That's why we worship. And then we respond by telling Him so. This is why the Bible study and worship go hand in hand. See, there are people who worship but don't have any premise for why they worship. Then what there are is emotion. They're just emotional. It feels good. How many's ever felt the Spirit and it felt good? Well, if you feel it, it usually does feel good unless you're on the other end of conviction. And I've been there many times and I still get there from time to time. And conviction ain't fun. Conviction ain't, it don't feel good. As a matter of fact, sometimes I'm like, dog, God. Why you got to deal with me about that? I was over here ready to have a good time, and now you want me to go repent over something. Shoot. Oh, I know y'all wish y'all had somebody more holier than me as your pastor, but I'm just being real. Anybody get tired of repenting? I get tired of it sometimes. I'm like, Lord. I'm like, God, you let Rodney get away with all kind of stuff. No, I'm just kidding. But here's the reality. It doesn't matter what other people get away with. What is God convicting you? Do you know why you worship? And most of us don't know why we worship because we have not studied the Bible to know who He is. But if you ever come to a realization of who He is, you can't help but to worship Him. Worship is going to be more effective when it is based on an accurate understanding of who God is. Our worship of God, I think I have this one, yes. Our worship of God must engage the mind, but must also engage the affections, the heart, our emotions, and our spirit. We must worship God in spirit and in truth. See, truth deals with our heart. Truth deals with our emotions. Truth deals with our spirit. Listen. I'm not saying that you got to worship like me. I'm not talking about an outward expression of worship. I know that I'm a demonstrative worshiper. And I like demonstrative worshipers. I don't want to be real subdued like Vicky. You know, Vicky's very subdued in her worship. I'm just messing with you, you know that. But what I am saying is you don't have to worship like Vicky or me or Judy or Jumpin' Judy. You have to worship in spirit and in truth. But you must worship. However God leads you, you must worship. And that involves your affections, your heart, your emotions, your spirit, and your mind. Listen, we show outward excitement and worship into sports, to musicians, to celebrities. I'm telling you, I was at a ball game with a friend of mine, and we were at the ball games, and I saw him act like I ain't ever saw him act. And matter of fact, I told him, I said, by God, Sunday, when we at church, if I make a good point, I want a chest bump. Amen. I've never been invited back after that, but anyway, you know what I'm saying. You know, and people call us weird because of the way we worship. Have you ever been to a rock concert or a country concert of any kind? But they call us crazy. They call us emotional. We shouldn't do that. The last time I checked, nobody has ever paid the price that Jesus paid for me. The last time I checked, nobody stays with me when everybody has left me. Jesus stays with me. The last time I checked, nobody can walk into my situation and speak a word in due season and cause a peace to come on me. Just the last time I checked. It would seem only right that God would deserve more than the Seminoles or the Gators or the Miami or Alabama, whoever. A worshiping church is a place where God is exalted in spirit and in truth. So if we're going to get well, we must become a worshiping church. But let's go a little bit further. We must become a worshiping Christian. You need to be a worshiping. If you want to be, you know, the church is only as strong, it is only as healthy as the people in it. Well, Pastor, I think it's on the preacher. Well, I don't. Not only, but it is, because I'm in the church. Amen? Glory to God. God's original design. Point number two is this. Is that we become an evangelistic church. The Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Now, when I say the word evangelistic, people's hiney get tight. Because we don't know, what's he want me to do? I want you to live in a way that causes people to notice that there's a change, there's something different about you. See, as we read the accounts of the first church, it becomes crystal clear that literally everything they do culminated in evangelism. Proclaiming Christ has never been seen as optional. It was never seen as this is something that you're supposed to do. Well, I'm just one of them closet Christians. Baby, come out of the closet. We got too many people coming out of the closet. Why don't the Christians come out of the closet? And that doesn't mean you can wear a Jesus lapel pin. That doesn't mean you beat people over the head with a Bible, the biggest one you can find. Amen. I got a Bible in my office. Somebody just found it at an estate and gave to me. It's an old Bible. Literally, it's about that thick. I mean, I could knock somebody out with that thing. But that's not what I'm talking about. See, it was never a job handed out to a special committee. Well, I need an evangelistic committee. Well, it shouldn't be that. Everybody ought to be a part of that committee. Evangelism, I want you to hear me closely, happened regularly as the early believers lived their lives. Because true evangelism is one beggar telling another beggar where he found bread. What that means is you telling somebody how Jesus helped you. You ain't got to get all theological. God never called you to be his lawyer. He called you to be his witness. The lawyer has to know the law. The lawyer has to know all the other nuances of the law. But a witness just gets up and tells what he's seen, what he heard, and what he's experienced. Hallelujah. And as they lived their life, they aroused not only curiosity, but also admiration. And earned an audience with unbelievers. Listen to me. If you mean, you ain't going to get no audience with the unbeliever. I'm not talking about letting people walk all over you, but I'm talking about if you just mean. If you mean mugging everywhere you go, there's a problem. You know, listen to me. If nobody likes you, well, you know, and I love this one. This is what they always tell me, Brother Greg. Well, you know, they hated Jesus. Yeah, the religious people surely did. But the unbelievers loved Jesus. Amen? So if everybody hates you, there might be a problem in your life, in your Christianity, in your walk with God. See, some go as far as to say that they are not called to be evangelistic. They were called to body ministry. I'm called to body ministry, not evangelism. Hogwash! Well or healthy, well-fed, worshiping believers will reproduce themselves.
Amen.
Listen to me. And I don't mean to cast a disparaging word on people who are dealing with this, but everybody knows that if a couple, and when I say couple, I mean man and woman, when a couple are intimate, if there are no issues in them, when they are intimate, offspring occurs. Amen? That doesn't happen with the same sex. Let me just throw that out there. That doesn't happen. Mm-hmm. Well, I ain't sure, Pastor. Well, go to ask a vet. And so if you are healthy, well-fed, worshiping believer, your intimacy with God ought to produce offsprings. People ask you. If they see you happy, if they see you going through hell and you still got a smile on your face, they'll ask you, what kind of drugs are you on? Anybody ever ask you that? They've literally asked me that. Before I was the pastor, I worked at Wendy's and I was the manager at this one store, and I would walk through every day. I would walk through the at lunchtime, and I would check on the customers and so forth, so on. And if I had it once, I had it 10 times. Somebody asked me, "Hey, excuse me, are you the manager?" I said, "Yes, ma'am." I said, "What are you on?" I said, "Jesus." They said, "What?" I said, "Just, I'm on Jesus." And I've had a couple of them say, "Tell me more about this Jesus." Now, I had a couple of them go, "Oh, you're one of them Jesus people." Yes, I am. Amen. Amen. It is a natural occurrence. And if you're not producing any offsprings, then maybe you need to go see a specialist and see where the problem is. Excuse me. Preach! I believe I will. Thank you. When I am glorifying God, when I am built up as a believer, I want to then go and share my faith. Amen? See, here's the deal. We talk about what's important to us. I want you to catch that. We talk about what's important to us. One of my brothers who isn't saved, he said this to me, and I took it as a compliment. He said, "Ronnie, you talk about church all the time." I go, "Yeah, I do. It's what's important to me. It is my life." I said, and I told him, I said, "And I'm trying to get you saved." Now, you don't need to be that direct unless you have that relationship, but I need to be that direct. He goes, "What do you mean you're trying to get me saved?" I go, "You know that if you died right now, you're going to split hell wide open. I don't want that to happen. Because I love you." Amen. Did it work? Not yet, but it's working on him. It's working on him. It's working on him. Amen. The early believers had been touched by God and had forever changed their lives, so much so that they were willing to give their lives for him. See, evangelism is not just a planned event. All right? It was a natural outgrowth of a healthy relationship with Christ. The early church believers took everyday situations and turned them into opportunities to share the gospel. Peter and John, was put in, was not put in, where they were put into prison, but not here. In Acts chapter 3, they were just going to worship. And there was a man that was laid at the gate because he was lame from his mother's womb, the Bible said. And as they were going by, he was looking to them for alms. And he goes, alms for the poor? And they look, he said, fix your eyes on us. He said, silver and gold have I not, but such as I give unto thee. What are you saying, Pastor? Look for opportunities to pray with people and let them be an evangelist. Because here it is, if we're ever going to get well, then we must become an evangelistic church. Number three, God's original design, become a learning church. A learning church. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, was what our text said. They continued. They got saved. They went to focus track. And then they got into focus group. And then when focus group was over, they got into a Sunday school, or what we call a family training hour at 9:45. Why? Because they wanted to learn more about this gospel. Can I tell you? Please don't be offended. There'll be so many other opportunities. So don't be offended at this. But so many of us don't enjoy church or the gospel or Christ or our relationship because you don't know anything about it. You got saved and, whoa, I'm saved, but that's all you know. And you don't know everything that's at your disposal. See, what if you got a paycheck every week, and hopefully you do, or every 2 weeks or a month, but you got a paycheck, but you didn't know how to access it? You would be frustrated. I'm working, and I see the money, but I don't know how to get to it. Learning about God and Jesus helps you access all that he says you can have. Well, the preacher talks about full of glory. I don't have any fun. I don't have any, because you don't know how to access the fun. You don't know how to access the faith. You don't know how to access the peace. But when you begin to learn, you learn how to access all that God has for you. The essential to a healthy church is a commitment to preaching, and I'm doing my best to preach the word, but also to learn the word. At the time of the first church, this meant listening to the apostles' teaching and reading the scriptures that they had up to this point. Remember, they didn't have all the Bible at this point. But I want you to notice the words, they continued steadfastly. Now keep in mind that this means not only did the apostles taught faithfully and continually, but then the congregation was faithful to continue in, to keep learning and growing what was taught. You know, you ever looked at somebody and you wonder, well, boy, how'd they get there so fast? Because they learned and was taught. See, people always talk about where you are. Well, I could do that. Well, it's not a matter of can you do that. Are you willing to do what they did? Are you willing to do what they did? They were attentive. 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that is needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. See, here's what I've learned. Is people develop an appetite for what they are fed. How many people in here like Thai food? Y'all are nasty. I haven't developed a taste for it because I've never been fed that. Now, what I developed a taste for is what my mama fed me, and it shows, biscuits and gravy. That's what I've got a taste for. And you know, people in the north don't like grits. It's because you're weird. No, but that's what we were raised on. There aren't too many Southerners who don't like grits. There's a few, but they're transplanted. Or here's another one, collard greens. With some cornbread. Now, see, this is Southern. Y'all don't know nothing about this, you Yankees. I'm not talking about cornbread on the side. I'm talking about cornbread crumbled up and the greens and the pot liquor put on top of it. That's what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. Pot liquor. Y'all don't know nothing about no pot liquor. Mm-hmm. What is that? I talked to you after church. I had a black woman married to a white man, born and raised here in Crystal River, didn't know what pot liquor was. Brother Hampton, I told her, go back and tell your mama. You don't know what pot liquor, they're going to revoke your black card. They didn't revoke it when you married a white man, but you go back and they're going to revoke it now. People develop an appetite for what they are fed. You know, I tell people I'm very picky on what I eat like, but what I like, I love. Amen? A church with a steady diet of feel-good sermons instead of theology or solid teaching from Scripture will eventually raise a congregation of weak people. And I've had to ask myself the question, God, do I just preach feel-good sermons or do I preach the Word? Because I want to make sure that you have a good buffet, a good balanced diet in front of you, that when the devil comes in, you can be strong and you won't be weak. A learning church is a church where discipleship is taking place. For a long time, we failed in this area. But man, we've really stressed it and tried to make sure that we give you opportunities and stress discipleship. And I think we're doing that. We're doing it with the family training hour. We do that with other Bible studies through the week. We do it with focus groups for sure. Because we want to make sure that you are discipled. Because a well church is a worshiping church, W, is an evangelistic church, E, and is a learning church, also, is which is the L. So if we're going to get well, then we must become a learning church. The last L, God's original design, has become a loving church. A loving. How many of you ever heard people, pastors, churches, the most lovingest church in the town? Man, we ain't ever going to put that on our stuff. Why? Because we might be, but no. Because we love the people we love. There's some people I have to work at loving. Pastor, in church, not in this service. I mean, just come on, let's just be real, right? You know, I know pastors who will stand up and go, I tell you, I would die for you. I'm going to tell you straight up, I ain't dying for none of y'all. Matter of fact, is my daughter in here? No, I ain't dying for nobody up in here. I love you. And I might get a bee sting for you, but I ain't going to die for you. Y'all can lie all you want to. Oh, it sounds good. Oh, our pastor said he would die for us. Well, let somebody walk in with a gun, see what the pastor does. I'm going to be hiding behind security. I don't know, I probably would take him on. Yeah, I probably would. But you know, if I were to be Jesus for you, no, maybe. If you were guilty, Pastor, would you go to jail for me? No. Not one moment. Especially when I know you guilty. I got to quit. It's 9:40. All right. The Bible says, now all who believed were together and had all things common, continues daily with one accord and having favor with all people. Now this description wasn't intended to describe a socialist utopia. No, not at all. It illustrates just how literally we're called to love one another. Now we're called to love one another. Well, if you loved me, then you would do this. That ain't love. That's manipulation. I can love you without giving you everything you want. Come on, somebody. The reason the early church could share their possessions was that they were actually living out the second great commandment to love their neighbor as themselves. And we see that their unity and their love were so powerful that all the people thought well of them. What did Jesus say? Here, now think about this. John chapter 13, verse 33 and 35 says, "You will know that they are my disciples if they cast out devils, if they speak in tongues, no, if they do miracles, no, if they have love one to another." Now the problem is, when we talk about love, I think of hippie love. So I have to be careful. How many know what I'm talking about? You know, that hippie love, that free love. Oh, we just want to love everyone. I ain't talking about no little sissy love. I'm talking about real love. Real love that says, "I love you too much to leave you the same way I found you." That says, "I love you too much to lie to you, I'm going to tell you the truth. I love you too much to tell you that them britches make your behind look big." Who wouldn't want to join in such a love fest where everybody cared about and accepted people? See, I want us to be a loving church. We care about people. We accept people. And just because we care about you don't mean we're going to do everything you ask. Good preaching. Why? Because some people are manipulators. And givers must have boundaries because takers have none. We see their unity. As a result, their numbers exploded. Thousands came to Christ. See, when we're talking about being a loving church, we're talking about people that are connected to one another in fellowship. People who serve one another in true ministry. Jesus said in Matthew 19:19, "Love thy neighbor as thyself." What would happen if we truly took Jesus at his word and lived this way? What would this church look like? Can you imagine how different things would be if everybody operated on this principle? Man, you could shut down the court systems. You could do away with the law. Well, Pastor, no, because everybody's not going to. And let me tell you, everybody that comes to church ain't Christian. Well, y'all quiet right now. That's why I tell people, when you come to church, lock your car door outside. Well, I'm at church. If I was a thief, that's where I'm going to go. I think a little too much like a thief, don't you? Uh-huh. I ain't always been saved. People all loving, everybody just leave a car door open at church. Oh, I'm going to go in your car. I locked that thing. Amen. I knew a guy that pastored a church, and it was in a rough section of town. When he had an altar call, he'd say, come to the altar. Bring your purse, but come to the altar. Our love for one another is our greatest witness to the world. It backs up everything that we're trying to do and say to the unbeliever. Remember in Acts, all the believers were as one. The response was a daily adding to their church. People came to Jesus because they saw how Christians loved each other. Too often, the opposite is true today. A loving church is a place where there is true fellowship and true ministry. And if we're going to get well, then we've got to become a church, a loving church. And I believe we're a good church. I really do. And I believe that we do love. But we've got to, I want to ask you yourself, where are you at? The bottom line is this: if we're not healthy, we need to get well. And this is not a negotiable point. We got to get well. It's imperative to our survival as a church. We need spiritual revival. We need to get healthy. And I'm challenging you to join me in this mission. I'm challenging you to get well. What's my last one? That we are to become a worshiping church, an evangelistic church, a learning church, and a loving church. Would you stand to your feet? Because here's the question I want to ask you today. I don't want you to look at your neighbor. I want you to look at yourself. How do I line up? How do I line up with being well? Am I well? Am I a worshiping Christian? Am I evangelistic Christian? Am I a learning Christian or am I a loving Christian. You know, my wife and I were at just a real small conference, about 200 people over in Ormond Beach, and I got to do something I love to do because she left and went over Wednesday. I left Wednesday night after service, and I was able to ride my motorcycle over. Love doing that. So I came back from there, and I stopped because I was very hot. I stopped where Jesus eats at Dairy Queen. And I got me something very healthy. This thing they call a Blizzard. Nobody was with me. I wasn't sure if I was going to share that this morning. But as I sat there, and I know y'all don't ever get there. I'm just trying to help somebody. You don't ever get there. But I'm sitting there minding my own business. I have on my motorcycle garb. I have on my vest. And on my vest, I have a Bible patch on my vest. And this couple came in, you know, and give you the standard greeting of men. You know, and I'm just trying to eat my Blizzard, man. And I know y'all don't ever get this way, but I just needed a break from people. I just want to enjoy my ice cream. Don't want to talk to nobody. Don't want to preach to nobody. Don't want to be bothered with anybody. And inevitably, he's up at the counter, he and his wife, and I'm eating my little ice cream. And from the corner of my eye, I see him coming. He was a fellow rider, this older gentleman. How far are you going? I said, just going to Crystal River. Where are you coming from? So then we struck up a conversation. Then he seen my Bible patch. Oh, I can say this to you because you must be a believer. I go, yeah, I am. So he told me a little bit further, and we talked a little bit further. And just out of the blue, are you a minister? Well, aren't we all? Using some church psychology. Aren't we all ministers? And I said, I knew what he was talking about. I said, yeah, I am. So we talked. And he had just gotten over pancreatic cancer. We talked and talked a little bit more. So what I wanted to do, I know you, boy, I know I'm telling y'all everything. I don't need to tell y'all probably. What I want to do is just get on my bike and come home. But what I did, well, you mind if I have a word of prayer with you? Man, thank you so much. I would love that. So right there in Dairy Queen, I just prayed a little simple prayer over him. He thanked me. I thanked him. And we went on. He was a very delightful couple. Pastor, why are you telling us this? Because being well sometimes is not always convenient. Being a worshiping church. Josh, do you get up here every time ready to worship? Well, you should. But that's truth, right? Do I always want to be evangelistic? No. Do I always want to learn? No. Do I always want to love? No. You know, usually when you want to tell people off, it's because you love. I must love some people a lot. Ask yourself that question. Where am I? I've already preached this sermon to me this past week. Where am I? Am I a worshiping Not pastor. Let's take pastor off my name right now. Am I a worshiping child of God? Am I an evangelistic child of God? And I had to answer, most of the time I am. Am I a learning? Yeah, that's why I go to these different things, trying to keep learning. Am I a loving? You know, I told you that when I first got saved, I didn't like people. Well, before I got saved, I didn't like people. And then I got saved, I didn't like people. And then God called me to preach, and I didn't like people. And the people I didn't like the most was church people. And then God changed something inside of me. I must have really got saved. And now I love people too much. And sometimes I ask God, Lord, can I just quit loving people so I don't care? He won't let me. But I want to be well. I want to be well. Every head bowed, every eye closed in this place. If you don't know Jesus, then you're not well. That's the first step of getting well, is asking Him to come into your life. I give you my word, I won't embarrass you. If that's you, slip up your hand. You can put it right back down. I see that hand. God bless you, hon. I see that hand. God bless you. Hallelujah. Everybody, pray this prayer with me. Heavenly Father, come into my life. Be my Savior.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you are blessed by listening to this message and invite you to join us at our Crystal River campus. We meet for service on Sundays at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our midweek service and youth service is on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We're located at 2180 Northwest 12th Avenue in Crystal River, Florida.